Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Mike Cosentino sitting across from me. He's here in the flesh. And we have a guest today.
We do.
Gary LeMaster. He's on the editorial board of Democratic Perspective. If you go to our website, he's the guy who writes the descriptions of the programs and does additional research. If you write us or email us, Gary is the guy who will give you references to are the facts and stuff that Mike and I have made up.
Yeah, it's just a little peek behind the curtain today. Gary is one of our band of brothers, and that helped us put on and created Democratic Perspectives. But even more importantly, why he's here is because he's gone and written a book, and he's written a wonderful book actually called The T-Publican Book of Lies. I want to read the subtitle, 50 Myths and Outright Lies Originated by the Republican Party and Their Tea Party Allies, by Gary LeMaster.
Gary was raised on a farm in southwestern Iowa. You were raised as a Republican, right?
Correct.
And he has his BS in science journalism from Iowa State. He was a newspaper reporter, worked for television stations in Des Moines, became an advertising copywriter, and worked on some of the most famous ad campaigns in the United States. He was a lecturer at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he owned and ran a kung fu school in Minnesota for 20 years. It's the kung fu reason that we have him in today.
That's right.
I have a face made for radio and a voice made for newspaper.
There we go. Well, that's and explains why you went into copywriting.
Well, tell us a little bit about the book. We're giving you folks a preliminary look at it. It's not published yet. Gary's going to publish it on the internet. You'll be able to go on to Amazon and other Barnes & Noble, and get it, but it'll be a couple of months before it's out and available to the public.
Correct.
So this is a sort of a preview of Gary's book.
Yeah, it's our intent to just take some of those 50 of them, and obviously we don't have time to talk about all of them. We're going to talk about, I'm going to read some of them out of the table of contents, though, because they're fascinating, and then we're going to get to some in depth. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to say, I was raised a Republican. I was an independent most of my life until about 5-6 years ago. And I got interested in this back in the 2000 election when I was working on a ad campaign, and I wanted some just wild political quotes that sounded stupid. And I had been a reader of the Quail Quarterly, which, you know, Dan Quayle was a wonderful source of kind of idiotic quotes. And I had those for my ad campaign, but I was looking for some from the other side, from the Democrats. And so I went on a website, the RNC website, Republican National Committee, and I found a section called Gore Gaffes, and I was thrilled. I said, here's a source that I can, you know, I've got a whole bunch of quotes for my campaign. And as I started reading them, I realized they were all Dan Quayle quotes that had been reattributed to Gore. And I'm going, if this is the National Party lying, and something so simple as that, what else are they lying about? So I started looking at everything that I found that didn't quite add up to me, or I was surprised about. I started researching. The internet's a wonderful thing for that, and I tried very hard to find unbiased, as unbiased a source as I can, or if I can't find something, I'll look at both sides.
So your book is fully documented, sourced?
It's fully documented and sourced as best I can so far. I'm going to keep working on it right up until when it's published.
How about some of his myths, Mike? You want to read off a few of them?
Yeah, sure. Let's look at a couple.
Then we'll take up the U.S. has the highest corporate tax rate in the world. We'll take that up after you read the list.
But I do love that he used the word lie. And, you know, in other words, it didn't use a politically correct term. He didn't say misinformed. He didn't say, misspoke. He called it what it is, and he called them a lie. And I really kind of like that. There's something about intent, I think, makes something a lie, makes misinformation a lie. But here's some of them. Number 12, cutting taxes creates jobs. Number 14, U.S. corporate taxes are the highest in the world. Number 16, cutting deficits and the national debt will create jobs. Number 18, the national debt was created by President Obama. Number 20, Republicans' regulations are bad for business. We're going to talk about number 26, too. Most Americans don't pay taxes. President Obama is anti-business. We may or may not get to that. The United States is going broke.
Gosh.
Yeah, right. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Let me read a few more before we get into some of these. Here, I'm looking at the end here.
I like cutting Medicaid and Medicare will save a bunch of money.
Yeah, exactly. When there's no connection. I need to say this every time we get an opportunity, and that is there's no connection between Social Security and the national deficit.
One that's good is spending scandals are proof the government is out of control or can't do anything right. And businesses and government both have spending scandals, and whatever programs you have, whatever business you have, you can always have bad guys doing bad things in the name of good stuff.
And you can see where some of it just became topical as he got toward the end. The Keystone XL pipeline will create jobs and lower gas prices is a lie. The auto bailout was an unnecessary government intrusion into the markets.
I noticed that Romney is now claiming, or his people are claiming, that Obama got the idea of the auto bailout from him. That it's his idea. Even though he opposed it, now it's his idea since it worked.
Despite the fact that he was on record in many occasions saying that the auto industry should be allowed to go bankrupt.
I mean, kids do this. You know, oh, that was my idea. Since it worked, it wasn't my idea, you know, since it didn't go bad. Let's take the first one, Gary, which is corporate taxes. U.S. corporate taxes are the highest corporate taxes in the world. Talk about it.
You hear that all the time from Republicans and you know, actually from everybody. And in fact, they now are. When I first started this book, they were, taxes were second highest in the world. But one of the other nations dropped their tax rate. Our corporate tax rate in the U.S. is 34.2%. Which sounds outrageous. It's actually over the history of the United States, it's been dropped and dropped and dropped, but it's still very high. The point is, why it's a lie is that almost no corporations pay that. They have all these deductions and subsidies, and, you know, the bigger the corporation, and the more critical to our infrastructure, the more subsidies they get.
What actual rate? What's the average rate the corporations are actually paying?
Well, it's less than 18%.
So the theoretical rate is 34%, but the actual rate is less than 18%?
So, you know, we call that the effective tax rate. It is less than 18%. But even more than that, for example, 12 major corporations made $171 billion in profits from 2008 to 2010, yet they had a negative income tax rate of 1.5%. In other words, the government gave them money back.
And they didn't pay any taxes, and we gave them money back, too. It's a very complicated process by which they do this, both keeping money offshore, keeping profits offshore. And it's pretty much all the larger companies. I noticed there's a big article recently about Apple, how Apple makes billions of dollars but doesn't pay any taxes. People still think of Apple as a couple of hippies in a garage with good ideas, but it's now a giant, one of the largest corporations in the world.
And most profitable.
Yeah.
Right. And I should say that 34.2% includes state taxes. It's all taxes. that corporations pay.
So that's not the federal tax rate,
that's
even
not
theoretically.
The federal tax rate. That includes state taxes. It includes property taxes. And you have to look at all the corporate welfare given. All the states are competing for large corporations to bring jobs into their state. So what they do generally to attract, you know, Arizona is guilty of this, is to attract corporations, we keep dropping the corporate tax rate in the state. Well, I, as an owner of an ad agency, I was occasionally hired by large corporations to do studies on the business climate in certain states or cities. And what we would do is look at everything from tax rates on down to education, et cetera. The clients were very seldom that interested in the tax rate. They were much more interested in the lifestyle and especially the education and the number of people in the workforce that were capable of doing the jobs that they needed. So the whole tax cut thing for corporations is grossly overrated.
You get the wrong kind of corporations, right?
You do. It's a race to the bottom. You know,
exactly.
You're competing with Vietnam and China, and it's and every state will fall all over themselves to get another corporation. So they give away land, they give away property taxes, they give away buildings.
Personally, it's infuriating because when I see Walmart come to town without and being forgiven, you know, or lowered state taxes, that directly affects schools. I mean, Arizona's education system can't be giving away any money to anyone, and it happens all the time. Let's stay in the tax area, though, and let's talk about the other myth or lie, and that is most Americans don't pay taxes.
You hear this frequently on conservative talk shows, and most Americans don't pay taxes.
They talk about them as the poor as the freeloader class, that they're just living off of the wealth of the job creators. Well, I was for a lot of years a job creator. I brought millions and millions of dollars of revenue into Minneapolis, St. Paul, from large corporations around the country and around the world. So I kind of think I understand both sides. I was raised poor, and I at times was considered rich, and now I'm gone on my way back down.
You're no longer part of the 1%.
I'm no longer. Well, I never was really one of the 1%, but I was doing quite well when I had owned the ad agency. But the truth is that they're not freeloaders. They're just people often down on their luck, or they have lacked the educational tools in order to really succeed, or they live in an area that doesn't have any high-paying jobs available, and they take the best available job.
The reason they're not paying federal income taxes is they're not making a decent amount of money, given the amount of kids they have and so forth and so on, medical expenses and the rest.
Correct. But the fact that they don't pay taxes is the reason that's a lie is they pay all sorts of taxes beyond federal income tax. You know, they may be paying state income taxes. They may be paying, they're certainly paying sales taxes. And in this area, sales taxes are unbelievably high.
Yeah, when you're trying to run a state on sales taxes, I mean, then they become unbelievably high. I'm going to have to put my joke in here. You guys have heard my joke about how to make a small fortune in Sedona. Move here with a large one. Sorry.
I think I'm succeeding at that.
And we can extend that to all of Arizona.
I heard it is how to make $1 million in Sedona. Move here with $2 million. That's my variant.
But the fact is that everybody pays taxes except for the very, very people at the way below the poverty line. And even then, they're still paying, some sales taxes.
The truth is that the poor don't have any money. That's why they're poor. And they don't have money hardly to pay taxes. And they still end up paying sales tax. They still, if they're employed, pay Social Security, Medicare, and they pay property taxes in some areas.
Or a portion of it. If they're renting, they're still paying a portion of the property tax.
They're still paying property tax.
So they pay, they're taxed in all sorts of ways. In reality, in most cases, the taxes are more onerous for them than they are for the wealthy. Because, if I'm making $10 million a year, you know, paying 30% in taxes, which those people never do. It's usually more in the 12 to 15% range.
The Romney tax rate.
That doesn't really hurt me. You know, it may keep me from buying another island or another retreat in some other part of the world or another yacht, but it doesn't really have an impact on me.
We can come back to taxes, because you have several of your lies, several of your table of lies here on taxes and the myths surrounding them. But let's move maybe to the environment. Let's talk about the EPA was created by the wacko liberal left, you know, to ruin business.
Yeah, I think Obama invented it yesterday. There was no EPA until yesterday, and then it's really, really bad, and they're taking away our light bulbs.
The Environmental Protection Agency is what we're talking about, and...
And all of the Republican candidates have, or I like to call them Teapublican candidates, because
you want to explain that.
Let's face the facts that when the Tea Party started, I actually was somewhat encouraged by it. I wasn't happy about the subject they chose to protest, which was the auto bailout. I thought the bailout was incredibly necessary, but. When I found out, you know, when I first encountered the first Tea Party candidate, it was at a Republican booth. And they were coordinating with the Republican Party. So it's not a party unto itself. It's a movement at best that was created by Republicans to move the discussion even further to the way out right.
And funded by some very, very, some of the wealthiest people in the United States, like the Koch brothers. There are a lot of people who are really activists and really believe in it and came to the Tea Party on their own. I know a lot of Tea Party people, but there's money behind it, which is one reason that it expanded so quickly.
It probably would have never existed had it not been for Fox News Channel. Funded by the Koch brothers and a bunch of other people. It was a Republican strategist's idea in the first place. But when they started having rallies, those were promoted, with millions upon millions of dollars of media exposure by Fox News Channel. So to say it's a party unto itself is kind of ludicrous.
Okay, so Obama created the EPA day before yesterday. Tell us about the EPA.
Well, he connects it in the title because he doesn't want to let the Republican Party off the hook.
Well,
he wants to keep the Tea Party and the Republican Party connected. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now we can go to the EPA.
Okay. The EPA, you've heard all the candidates, Republican candidates, talk about getting rid. The first thing they do is get rid of the EPA, one of the several departments they want to get rid of. The fact, and they kind of imply, if not outright say, that the EPA was created by liberals and that probably by Democrats. But in fact, it was created by Richard Nixon in 1969. And the reason it was created was the Cuyahoga River in Ohio was literally in flames from the chemicals being dumped into it. And I love this quote at the time. Time magazine did a story on it, and this is probably what put pressure on the administration to do something. They had a cover story on the flaming river and said the river that oozes rather than flows, and in which a person does not drown but decays.
Randy Newman did a great song. Tom Collar remembers.
So rivers are catching fire and there's pollution everywhere, and it's a bipartisan thing. It's initiative by maybe the Nixon administration, but it's bipartisan. Both Republicans and Democrats supported it, right?
Right. And if you're old enough. As old as I am, growing up on a farm, I watched as I was growing up, I watched birds and other animals just flat out disappear from the farm. And we had a nice little product called that we use liberally called DDT. And DDT basically, exterminated most of the bird population, including bald eagles. And it was only when the Environmental Protection Agency, took shape that DDT was banned. We still have lots and lots of agricultural chemicals in particular that are causing great harm to our environment. You have a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico flowing out of the Mississippi River that's a result of runoff of farm chemicals.
There's lots of algae and stuff in the rivers. Yep. Pelicans disappeared in off the coast of California, and it was only after DDT was banned that they began to make a comeback. Some people think that comeback is too enthusiastic, but they did return, and that was a direct result of banning DDT.
It kind of goes along with the whole anti-regulation philosophy of the Republicans in that. They think the government is this huge intrusion into private business. And, I happen to think the air is kind of nice to be able to breathe, and I kind of like drinking water. But, without regulations, the corporations have a tendency to take it to, it's a race to the bottom again. If I can cut a little bit of profit out of manufacturing, one of my clients, I won't mention, heavily polluted the aquifers in and around Minneapolis, St. Paul, by just using free water, drawing fresh water out of the aquifer and then running it through their manufacturing plant with all sorts of chemicals and then dumping it back untreated into the land and into the streams. So, without the EPA and similar regulations, we'd be back into watching, our whole ecosystem die off, which we're seeing too much of anyway.
Right. This is we have regulations come up time and time again in your list of a table of lies. You don't call it a table of contents. You call it a table of lies. What other regulatory lies do you feel like talking about today?
One of the points I make in the book is that regulations, they did a survey, without referring to the book, I don't remember the source of it, but it was an independent source, did a survey of small businesses. And I was, have been for many, many years a small businessman. And the businesses actually, they surprisingly found in the survey that the businesses actually like regulations. To a great extent, they don't feel like they're being, handcuffed by regulations. It's the large corporations that are having a problem with regulations. The financial industry, Wall Street, has a big problem with regulations. We're still sitting, how many years later after the economic collapse, and we still don't have truly effective regulations in place.
They're raging against Obama and the administration and Democrats, but the regulations that were put in after they basically collapsed the American economy by gambling on all these derivatives are really mild and really, technically anyway, if looked at just strictly technically, would not stop at this from happening all over again.
The derivative market still is not regulated. They've put in some, with the Dodd-Frank Act, they put in some regulations, but we still aren't even back to the Glass-Steagall days. It's still a runaway market. Derivatives aren't really regulated, and you still have a possibility of the very same thing happening all over again.
Glass-Steagall controlled banking for many years and kept a commingling of funds, and so basically they could not use your deposits to gamble.
But long story short, they couldn't use your money to invest. I do see a note on here that we're going to do a whole show on regulation later on, so maybe we can. How about
With another businessman who I know well.
With another businessman, that's right. That's
who
right.
Probably knows much more than I.
Another local businessman, as a matter of fact. In fact, we're talking about doing a whole other show on, because some of your book deals with the media lies, and we're going to do a whole separate show on media. But let's talk about Obama being anti-business.
That's one of the most common repeated lies, you know, that and the fact that, a lot of people think that Obama created our national debt.
Yeah, those two. Those are excellent.
The national debt, I mean, if you take, let's take Bruce Bartlett as someone to draw from. Bruce Bartlett was one of the economic advisors for the Ronald Reagan administration. And Bruce Bartlett flat out says that, first of all, trickle-down economics did not work. He and David Stockman, who were the authors of that, both now say that that was a total failure.
On Bill Maher the other day, yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, Republicans keep trying to do that over and over again. Why?
They ignore their own people. You know,
they don't care about what happens. They care about the fact that the rich don't pay taxes. Is my simple explanation of it.
Well, that's one of his myths, by the way. One of his lies is that somehow cutting, raising taxes, or causing rich to pay taxes, will hurt the economy or hurt business.
Yeah, for that one, I'll just real briefly. They have a different definition of small business than I think most people do. One of the great debates over small business taxes kind of revolves around the fact that the Republican Party considers Koch Industries and Cargill small businesses, because you know they define small business as a business that's closely held. Well, Cargill is the world's largest privately owned corporation, and you know, having been a client of mine, I can tell you it's huge worldwide. But it's in Republican jargon, it's considered a small business. Koch Industries was a client of mine, regretfully.
You worked for a lot of bad guys here.
I did.
Took
me a while to figure it out, but you know, I can honestly say, as an advertising person, I never knowingly told a lie in any of my advertisements.
God, what does that make? If they're small business, what does that make Kazan Radio?
but they, you know, so they want to protect small business. Well, you know, I was a small businessman. I had, you know, had 36, 38 employees, and a rather large payroll. I found out I was subsidizing the health benefits for the, five Fortune 500 companies in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. They were getting their healthcare costs reduced because they went into a buying group, and so the providers had to make up for it. So they, you know, jacked up ours. For my employees, our healthcare rates never went up less than 33% in the time I owned the agency.
You know, and the healthcare reform was aimed at dealing with this particular problem. Because if you're a small business trying to buy healthcare on the open market, it means you pay more, as opposed to a large business where you can do it as a...
Getting back to Obama being anti-business, you only have to look at the Dow Jones Industrials. We're up, you know, 60 to 70%. So that's hardly anti-business, you know.
One of the things your book does, and we only got a couple minutes left, it brings the conversation. You talk about the Democrats or the left gives away the conversation all the time. What does your book do to that?
Well, what I really am hoping that the book will accomplish, if anything, is I don't expect to make money off of it. I frankly don't even care. It'd be nice.
Well, then that, no wonder you wrote a book in anti-Republican.
But what I really hope it does is kind of bring the conversation back to the center. I think what's happened is we hear, you know, Republicans say that Social Security is broke and that we have to do away with it. And so it gets everybody accepting that there's a problem, and then the middle becomes, something where we can privatize it.
So what's the name of the book again, Gary?
It's the Tepublican Book of Lies.
And we'll announce it when it's on the Internet here on Democratic Perspective.
Right.
Next week we have one of the most brilliant economists in the country, Dean Baker.
Dean Baker for a second trip to Democratic Perspectives.
And the week after, we have Jamie Galbraith, another brilliant economist at the University of Texas. Later in the month, we have Digby again, if you enjoyed Digby the first time.
Buyer.
She's going to be talking about debt.
So the economy is going to be on our agenda for a while.
Yeah.
Of course, these are some complicated, and please, please go to www.vvid.org, where you can hear these podcasts all over again.
Yes, and Gary writes a lot of the backup information and does a lot of work on He makes us look good.
We need somebody to do that.
Gary and Bill Timmerman.
I think it's the reverse.
And we're going to have Bill Timmerman on privatization of prisons also. Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.